We are working our way through the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul describes it in his letter to the Galatians. And today we come to patience. Does anyone have trouble with being patient with others? It can be a struggle. Now, to get started, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture from James. And I think this letter sometimes gets overlooked because some really influential Christians had a pretty negative view of this letter. Martin Luther, for example, thought the letter of James was pure rubbish. He called it, and I'll quote for you, an epistle of straw. Now, the letter of James gives a lot of attention to works, and I think that's part of the reason there's a negative view of it. And a lot of Christians would prefer to focus on grace, the kind of grace that we hear about in Paul's letters. But James is still a helpful book to look at. And in a way, it reminds us that we need to hold grace and works together. We certainly can't earn our salvation through works, but our faith is incomplete without works. We need both faith and works. And one of the works, one of the signs that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives is when we live with patience. So let's take a moment now to listen to our scripture passage. I'll read verses 7 through 11 of chapter 5 of James. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open there. Again, it's James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. The words will also be on the screen. And this is what James wrote. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. An example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. A couple of weeks ago, I heard a news report about a man in Chapel Hill who was shot in the leg in a case of road rage. In March, a 47-year-old woman was shot and killed on Interstate 95 in Lumberton. And a 6-year-old boy was recently killed in California in yet another episode of road rage. In each of these incidents, people lost their cool. Perhaps a driver cut off another, or maybe didn't pay attention to the stoplight changing colors. And then people started honking their horns and yelling at each other, and it quickly escalated from there. Seems like patience is in short supply on our roads and highways. It's even in short supply in the virtual world where we all spend time. When we're online, we expect things to happen immediately, quickly. You know, we send a message and we expect an immediate response. We purchase an item from Amazon and we expect to find it on our doorstep, lickety-split. See, technology makes it possible for things to happen quickly. But the downside is that it seems to breed impatience. And we see this play out on social media where people tend to not practice a whole lot of patience. They see a post from another person and they feel a need to respond immediately and without giving any reflection to what needs to be said or how it should be said. They start typing out their thoughts, and then before you know it, tempers had flared and a fight has erupted. Now, in our scripture passage, the word for patient, the Greek word for patient, is the word makrothmio. It can literally mean long-tempered as opposed to short-tempered. Now, do you ever have a short temper? I think it can happen to any of us, whether we're online or in person. So how do you keep your cool, or do you even try? Well, if you've ever lived with another person, and I think that's most of us in this room, your patience is bound to have been tested to some degree, because it's easy to have a misunderstanding or to feel mistreated. And that's often when we lose our temper. We want to retaliate at the other person. Maybe we just harbor some resentments and then we seek our revenge at a later time. But either way, our impatience leads to destructive behavior. Now, being impatient was a serious issue in the early church. Now, they expected Jesus to return in their lifetimes. In fact, they thought it was imminent. But with every passing day, they wondered about the delay. They grew more and more impatient, and they grew more impatient with each other. They were fighting with each other. And that led James to tell them to quit the bickering, as he said in verse 9, "Beloved, do not grumble against one another." James repeatedly advised the church to be patient. In that brief little passage of scripture that I read a few moments ago, James used a form of the word patience four times. But it has to do with more than just controlling one's temper. And we gain a fuller understanding of what patience means by looking at the example of God and the example of Jesus. Throughout the Bible, God is described as slow to anger. Exodus 34, verse 6, for example, says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Slow to anger, I think, is a good way to express what we mean by patience. And God was certainly patient with the people of Israel, especially when they deserve judgment. The verse that I quoted just a moment ago from Exodus comes in the time when the people of Israel had sinned against God when they worshiped the golden calf. God was furious with them and was ready to wipe them off the face of the earth, but God didn't do that. Now, there are many times in the Old Testament when we find God angry with his people because of their behavior or their lack of faith or their sin. What's really amazing is how patient God acted toward them. And the prophets marveled at this. Hosea, for example, describe God being patient with Israel in the way parents practice patience with their own children. It really is remarkable how patient God was with the people of Israel. Now, we also can marvel at the patience of Jesus. The disciples tested his patience quite frequently because they constantly didn't understand what Jesus was saying and doing. They just didn't get it. The disciples frustrated Jesus. But he persevered with them despite all their faults, all of their mistakes, and all their failures. He never gave up on them. He never lost patience. And his greatest act of patience is seen on the cross. Jesus endured the violence and the cruelty and the injustice of it all for the salvation of our world. Now, holding these two examples alongside our scripture texts helps us see that patience as a fruit of the Spirit means that we have the ability to put up with the weaknesses and shortcomings of others without getting angry quickly and fighting back. It means we show perseverance without retaliating. It means that we have the ability to endure for a long time whatever suffering may come our way or whatever opposition pops up. And I want to point out that none of this comes naturally to us, which is why we need the Holy Spirit to nurture and cultivate patience within us. Now, this can be a challenge because we sometimes want to take matters into our own hands to rush the results that we want. Some of the people who followed Jesus were so zealous that they wanted to establish God's kingdom in their own timing that they took up arms. They shed blood to make it happen. They wanted to see God's kingdom in their lifetimes. James, however, advised the church to not give in to their impatience, but instead he advised them to wait for God's timing, like the farmer who waits for the crops to arrive. Now, those of us who are casual gardeners know the truth of that. Perhaps we started our gardens last fall by working some compost in the soil, and then this spring we tilled up the ground. We planted our tomatoes and cucumbers and other such things. We watered and we fertilized. And now we're waiting. We're waiting and hoping and praying that we will see the fruit of our labors. Now we know growing crops, whether it's in a garden or in a big field, takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And we have to be patient. Now, being patient can be hard. Sometimes it's even painful. And James acknowledged this reality by using the prophets as an example. Many prophets suffered emotional, psychological, and physical pain as they waited for the words that God had given them to be fulfilled. James didn't sugarcoat how difficult it is to practice patience, which explains why he kept repeating the same message. He kept repeating, "Be patient." So what does it look like when patience grows in our lives? Well, you and I may not have the same expectations for the imminent return of Jesus as the early church did, but I imagine there have been times when we have prayed for God to act in our lives and the Lord seemed to delay giving us a response. Perhaps we prayed for the healing of a loved one who was lying in a hospital bed. Or maybe we woke up in the middle of the night because we were in turmoil about some problem, and we asked God to help us solve it, but we didn't get an immediate response. In situations like these, James would encourage us to wait and to practice patience. Now, James didn't tell the church of his day to wait passively until Jesus returns. Instead, he called the church to live as kingdom people, to live by the values of God's kingdom. And we should do the same, particularly when we find ourselves in situations that test our patience. And to that end, I think adopting a mindset of perseverance can be helpful. There are a lot of things in life that cause various levels of suffering for us. There's suffering in relationships. There's suffering caused by failures in our health. And there's even suffering caused by persecution. You know, there are Christians around our world who have firsthand experience with this. They faced hatred, discrimination, imprisonment, and in some cases, death, all because of their faith in Jesus. Now, we shouldn't be surprised when suffering happens, because even Jesus and the apostles warned that it would happen. It would happen to everyone. How we respond, though, is the critical piece. When we suffer, I think there can be a tendency to lash out at people, particularly the ones we think are responsible for our own suffering. But our faith teaches us to not retaliate. We're called to follow the example of Jesus, who refused to fight back, even with his words. See, when we suffer, our faith encourages us to not give up. When we gave our lives to Christ, we made the commitment to carry on with what we have been called to do, no matter what the circumstances are. And Paul's a really good example of this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul wrote, "Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured," he said. "Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted." See, suffering happens in life. And when we suffer, we don't have to pretend that it's not happening. We should cry out to God and pray that our suffering will end. And in the Bible, and in all the years since, people have longed for the day when God will bring an end to all the things that cause us suffering, things like violence and evil and oppression and injustice. We long for the day when God will make all things whole. But until that day arrives, the Holy Spirit will be by our side and will help us persevere as we face whatever challenges come our way. And that perseverance is a sign that patience is growing in us. Another indicator that patience is growing in our lives is a greater willingness to practice forgiveness. And when someone hurts us, we'll resist that urge to strike back and seek an eye for an eye. We'll choose forgiveness over retaliation. Patience really is about putting up with the things other people do or don't do when we wish they would do otherwise. And we can be patient with others because the Holy Spirit is helping us be more aware of our own weaknesses and shortcomings. It helps us remember that people are probably having to be just as patient with us as we are with them. And exercising this kind of patience isn't easy. It takes effort. And it can be a real struggle, especially if you've been misunderstood, falsely accused, or people are gossiping about you and spreading rumors. That's when our patience really gets tested. The question is, are we going to practice forgiveness? Well, without patience, it will be difficult to forgive other people. Without patience, we'll struggle to find fellowship with others. And without patience, we'll lose out on the opportunity to learn from all the situations we face. Patience is a vital part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's something that Jesus practiced with the people he met and the people that were in his life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul wrote, "We urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them." Now, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do this. We need the Spirit to cultivate patience in our lives because we can't do this on our own. The good news is that the Spirit seeks to pour out God's love on us, which then enables us to love those folks who test our patience. Now, if you've not done so, I encourage you to open your hearts to the love of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. God wants to shape each and every one of us into more Christ-like people so that we might bear fruit that lasts. And patience is a fruit that lasts. And it's a fruit that will make a difference in our world, especially when we're cut off in traffic and someone's honking the horn and acting in pretty belligerent ways toward us. Patience is a fruit that can grow in our lives as we seek to have the Spirit of God living in us. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we live in a world that doesn't seem to value patience. People are quick to lose their cool, and sometimes we do too. And yet you, Lord, are patient with us all. You persevere with us, and you forgive us. And you continue to work in this world and our lives to produce something good. Lord, may we learn to follow your example. And to do this, though, we need your help. And so we pray that your Spirit would cultivate patience in our lives. Help us to persevere and be patient, especially with the people who test us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.